great to be back. I was given a very warm welcome by everyone here. Of course, Brother Clyde said, welcome home. And that's true. It's good to be back home. No matter where I travel across the globe, it's always good to be back at Wings Christian Fellowship Church. And I always look forward to being back here at least once a year, if not twice. So thank you, Pastor Oscar, for giving me this opportunity, and also Brother Jim and the elders of this church. I am truly grateful and honored to be here this morning. Also, my heart is filled with gratitude and joy to see, of course, all of you, but very specially to see Audrey back. I've been here several times and I've missed her. And so, Audrey, thank you for being here. It's a real special treat to have you here with us this morning. Also, I'm very delighted to see Jess. You know, I've always missed seeing her. She was one of our very good choir members back in the day. And so it's good to see Jess back. I know she's had a hard work last night, but she's here. So thank you, Jess, for being here. Also, my good friends, Nikhil and Rachel and Daniel, they're all here. And I think Shakila and Jay are on their way as well. Are they coming? They'll be here shortly as well. So thank you all for being here. A friend in front of me was coming out of the church one day, Pastor, and the pastor was standing at the door, as he always did, to shake hands with his congregants, and he grabbed my friend by his hand, and he pulled him aside, and the pastor said to him, listen, brother, you need to join the army of the Lord. The friend replied, I'm already in the army of the Lord, Pastor. Pastor questioned him, how come I don't see you except at Christmas and Easter? He whispered back, I'm in the Secret Service. I read about an 80-year-old woman who was recently married to a fourth husband. 80-year-old woman was recently married to a fourth husband. A reporter questioned the occupation of a newly acquired husband. She replied that he owned a funeral home. Curious about the other three husbands, the reporter also asked about their occupations. The woman paused for a while and stated that her first husband was a banker. The second one she was madly in love with, and he was a circus ringmaster. The third one was a minister. Puzzled by her answers, he replied, none of these people have absolutely anything in common. Why did you marry these people? She stated, sir, it's very simple. She married number one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. This morning in our scriptures, let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. I could share a lot more humorous points this morning, but I know that there's an elders meeting after, so I'll keep it very short and brief. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. If someone has that, could you please read it for us? Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It's Jesus calming the storm. Can somebody read it for us, please? Thank you, sister. I've entitled my message this morning, The Perfect Storm. The Perfect Storm. Most of you remember that movie that came out on Hollywood many years ago. It's called The Perfect Storm. And recently on my flight to India, when we were all seated on the plane, we were told to fasten our seat belts. And then one of the flight attendants, she stood up and she went through a safety demonstration. For those of you who fly, you know, you've gone through that. And as she explained these very important instructions, I looked around and saw that no one was paying attention, and she seemed quite used to that. You know, as a teacher and preacher, I can often relate to those feelings. Businessmen were reading their newspapers, young families attending to their kids. Many even had their eyes closed. I didn't do much better myself. And about halfway through our flight, the plane hit some pretty incredible turbulence. For those of you who fly, you know that means start praying. And I started searching for that laminated card that showed where the exits are and how to get the seat cushion to serve as a flotation device, and all of those things. I just wanted to be ready. I don't think we were over any water, but I just wanted to be prepared, just in case. You know what was happening? The stormy weather got me to pay attention to what really matters. My brothers and sisters, likewise, storms in our life can wake us up. Our text this morning takes place on some water. And we're going to find out that the disciples had some pretty intense aquaphobia. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to 41. And let's climb in the boat with Jesus as he takes us to the other side. Jesus obviously has some plans for his disciples that they don't know about. And in this passage, we'll discover about five important spiritual truths about God's plan for modern day disciples. We'll see that if Jesus is who he says he is, then we have absolutely nothing to fear. Amen? If Jesus is who he says he is, we have absolutely nothing to fear. Principle number one, if you're taking notes this morning, his plan may be puzzling. His plan may be puzzling. Look at verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And I wrote down some reasons why I think Jesus may have wanted to go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. Maybe it was to escape the crowd and get some rest. Maybe it was to free a man that was in bondage. Maybe it was to reach a different culture with the gospel. Maybe it was to teach and train his disciples. But I want us to focus on this last one, the teaching and the training the disciples. But first, let me give you a little background because it's very important. While the Sea of Galilee is mentioned 53 times in the gospel, and it's the setting or backdrop for many of the stories and the miracles of Jesus, hardly any focus is on the other side. That's primarily because that side of the lake was where the Gentile population lived, and Jewish people would avoid that area at any cost. The pagan people lived there. It was commonly believed that the devil himself had his indwelling there. The other side was unsettling. It was uncertain, so they'd rather stay away. And as I thought about this, it applies to what God's calling the Wings Christian family to do. We're all called to follow Jesus' plan, even when it doesn't make sense. Amen? Just as Jesus called his first followers to go with him to the other side, so too, each of us must go where he goes. Incidentally, this is not a suggestion. It's a commandment of Jesus Christ. We see this in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18. He gave orders to his disciples to cross to the other side of the lake. The disciples don't hesitate. If that's where Jesus wants to go, then that's where they'll go. We see this in verse 36 of Mark chapter 4. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. Now, every single detail is very important. I want you to notice that. Gospel writer says there were also other boats with him. They took Jesus just as he was, meaning they did not make any preparations or gather any provisions. If the Savior said it's time to sail, it's time to sail to the other shore. There was absolutely no delay. Their resolve is about to be tested, however. My brothers and sisters, you see, it's very easy to sail when the seas are calm. But when the storms come, that's another story. His plan may be puzzling, but principle number two, his plan often includes problems. The Sea of Galilee was really a lake, but it was called a sea because it had some of the same characteristics. It was 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It's the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It was known for the severity of its storms. Cold winds would whip down from the snow-capped Mount Hermon and combine with the warm lake air, causing explosive thunderstorms and gale force winds. One of the reasons why I picked this topic to speak on is about the hurricane that was coming as well. It was not uncommon for the waves to reach a height of 10 to 12 feet, sometimes up to 20 feet. One commentator writes, the sea was known to swallow entire ships and gulp down people. It was a common superstition to see the water as the abyss where demons lurked in the deep. Besides that, the lake was thought to be where mysterious sea creatures known as the Leviathan lived. Remember the Leviathan? It's there in the book of Job. And given these superstitions, it's no wonder that the people lived in utter awe of the lake. Look at Mark chapter 4 verse 37. The Bible says a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so it was nearly swamped. The word furious comes from the word megas, which refers to something big, something huge, like a hurricane, like Hurricane Florence. Water is filling up in the boats with the waves spilling over the sides so much that it was nearly swamped. Luke chapter 8 and verse 23 adds that they were in great danger. My brothers and sisters, let me point out that Jesus sent them into the boat knowing that a storm was coming. In order to get to the other side, my brothers and sisters, they had to go through a storm. Don't think that's just because you're going through some choppy seas that you're somehow being punished or that you're being disobedient. No doubt, God does send some storms to get our attention, like he did with Jonah. But other times, the storms in life come because of our obedience. And when storms come, they often are sudden, severe, and surprising. Sudden, they come in a split second, seemingly out of nowhere. All it takes is one phone call, a doctor's visit, an accident, a job loss, or a relational rupture. They're sudden. But number two, they're severe. They come with great intensity and they can overwhelm us. Number three, they're surprising. I'm often surprised when a storm hits, but I shouldn't be, because you know what 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 states? Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. In his book called The Pressure's Off, Larry Crabb, I don't know how many of you have read Larry Crabb, he argues that God is not a vending machine dispensing blessings as rewards for our good behavior. We need to reject a faith that is filled with a formula that says, if I do A, then God will do B for me. Crabb proposes that while we can always make life work like we want, we can always draw near to God. Draw near to God. If Jesus is who he says he is, we have absolutely nothing to fear. His plans for us may be puzzling. His plan may often include problems. But number three, his plan always comes with his presence. His plan always comes with his presence. Where is Jesus when the storms comes? He's taking a power nap in the back of the boat. Look at verse 38. The Bible says Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. This is also a great picture of him being in total control. He's peaceful. Even though there are problems taking place, he's sleeping while they're sweating bullets. He's on his throne. He's got everything taken care of. Amen. Jesus was in the boat with them. Very important point. He did not keep them from the storm, but he went through it with them. Now, this had to be some storm. We know at least four of the disciples were fishermen and they're absolutely freaking out. John MacArthur points out that it's a dark day when sailors call on a carpenter to get them out of the storm. It really is. It's a dark day when sailors, professional sailors, call on a carpenter to get them out of the storm. The disciples are totally undone. And so they wake him up and scream out a question dripping with accusation. Rabbi, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? Now, before we get too hard on the disciples, don't we often do the same thing when God doesn't do what we want him to do? It is common to attack his character when bad things happen in our lives. And while we are taking on water and sinking under the waves of worry, God often seems asleep. We see this in Psalm chapter 44 and verse 23. Psalmist says, "Awake, O Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever." My brothers and sisters, don't ever confuse God's silence with a lack of compassion. Don't ever confuse God's silence with a lack of compassion. He cares deeply for each one of us. You know, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 states what? Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Wow. Commentator Matthew Henry says that the ship that has Christ in it, though it may be tossed, cannot sink. Here's something that may be helpful for you. Whenever you're sinking under problems, remember this phrase: don't despair, Christ is there. Don't despair, Christ is there. It is only in the storm that we understand who Jesus really is. We learn most about Christ when we are in crisis. Remember this: storms weren't sent to destroy you, but to develop you. They aren't sent to destroy you, but to develop you. If Jesus is who he says he is, we have absolutely nothing to fear. His plan for us may be puzzling, often include problems. His plan comes with a presence. But number four, his plan demonstrates his power. His plan demonstrates his power. I love how Jesus slept through the storm, but as soon as his children cried out, he woke up. It reminds me of how young mothers can sleep so soundly, but when they hear just a whimper from their newborn infant, they pop out of bed immediately. Look at verse 39 of chapter 4. He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. It's interesting to me that Jesus does not specifically answer the question of his disciples whether he cared, because the answer they needed at that time was to see a demonstration of God's power. All Jesus had to do was to utter a command, and that which he created instantaneously obeyed. What a picture. When he stood up, all the forces of nature took notice. What he creates, he controls. When he rebuked the wind and the waves, they absolutely bowed down before him. The phrase Jesus uses means to be muzzled and remains so. He said the same thing in Mark chapter 1 verse 25 when he told the demons to be quiet. Mark is showing us Jesus' power over diseases, over the demons and the deep. Psalm chapter 89 and verse 9, the psalmist says, "You rule over the surging seas. When its waves mount up, you still them." With a word, Jesus muzzled a major hurricane. He stopped millions of gallons of water from moving instantaneously. You know, there are really two miracles here. First, he stopped the wind. Second, he stilled the water. Normally, if the wind dies down, what would happen? The waves would still keep rolling. But not that night. The wind ceased howling, the waves stopped moving instantaneously. I like what someone said about this passage. No water can swallow the ship where lies the master of the ocean, earth, and skies. No water can swallow the ship where lies the master of the ocean and earth and skies. After preaching in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, most of you remember Hurricane Katrina, Pastor Fred Luter of New Orleans concluded his sermon with these words. He said this: "Always remember, that when the storms show up, so does the Savior. Always remember that when the storms show up, so does the Savior. I discovered something really cool. The same word that is used to describe the mega storm is also used to describe the mega calm that came upon the sea. Did you know that? The same word. The mega storm also describes the mega calm that comes upon the sea. His plan demonstrates his power. But number five, his plan always has a purpose. His plan always has a purpose. The greatest storm that night was not on the Sea of Galilee, but it was in the souls of the disciples. The last two verses of Mark 4 gives three purposes behind the plans that God has for us. Number one, to deal with our fear. Number one, it's to deal with our fear. After rebuking the storm, Jesus rebukes the disciples by asking two questions in verse 40. Here's the first. Why are you so afraid? That word means timid, to the point of giving up. Why are you so afraid? What are you afraid of today? The presence of fear can indicate an absence of faith, because fear and faith are incompatible. Number two, not only to deal with our fear, but number two, it is to grow our faith. And here's the second question that Jesus asks them. Do you still have no faith? Do you still have no faith? Fear can fillet our faith, and faith can force out our fears. The biggest issue is not that Jesus stopped the calm, but that he couldn't find their faith. It's ironic that it's only the wind and the waves that are obeying him in this passage. Think about it. Three purposes. Number one, to deal with our fear. Number two, to grow our faith. And number three, to increase our awe. To increase our awe. One pastor has said that the only thing worse than having a storm outside your boat is to have the Lord Almighty inside your boat. And after Jesus asked them two questions, the disciples are very unsettled. And in turn, they ask a question in verse 41. They were terrified. Look at verse 41 of Mark chapter 4. They were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Who is this? The other translation said, "What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this that the wind and the waves obey him?" You've heard of the calm that comes before the storm, right? Well, this is the storm after the calm. The sea is at rest, but the disciples are all churned up. You would think they would chill when the waves are still. The storm made them afraid, but the power of Christ made them petrified. The word literally means they feared a great fear, to be stricken with awe and amazement in the presence of one greater than self. With deity on full display, they are twice as terrified after the storm. If Jesus did that to the forces of nature, what would he do to them? Think about it. In short, they didn't have a category for Christ. One translation says, as Sister read, "What manner of man is this?" He was more frightening than what they had just experienced in the storm. They realized that they are in the presence of ultimate holiness. They felt like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5. The prophet says, "Woe unto me, I am ruined." R.C. Sproul says that it was his awesome otherness that made them uncomfortable. That's exactly what Peter said on one occasion when Jesus filled the nets with so many fish, the boat began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the feet of Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, the woman who was healed by touching Jesus' garment had a similar response. In Mark chapter 5, verse 33, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Here's the deal. Unholy sinners are not comfortable in the presence of the holy. Is that right? I wonder if sometimes we've overemphasized Jesus being our friend at the expense of losing our fear of him. A reverential awe of God will keep us from being afraid during times of adversity. If we fear God, we won't fear other things. And it's only in the storms that we understand who truly Jesus Christ is. Let me summarize what we can learn from this perfect storm. His plan may be puzzling. His plan often includes problems. His plan comes with his presence. His plan demonstrates his power. And his plan always has a purpose. Now, as I reflected on this passage, I realized that we're all in the same boat. Pun intended. J. Vernon McGee once said this, "What a wonderful lesson we learn here. He puts us into the storms of life in order that we might grow closer to him, that we might know him better." Yes. As we wrap up this morning, let's focus on some life lessons that comes from this passage. Number one, Christ cares for you very deeply. He can help you in your crisis this morning. The disciples accused him of not caring. Let's not make that same mistake. This incident reveals both the humanity and the deity of the Lord Jesus. He fell asleep in the stern of the boat. That's his humanity. He spoke and the storm and the sea were completely calm. That's his deity. He can understand what we are going through because he was fully man. And he can do something about it because he's fully God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 to 16 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence or boldly, so that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in our time of need." He cares for you and helps you in times of crisis. But number two, Christ is in complete control of everything. Amen? We don't know what's coming, but Jesus does. He's great and he's good. He's awesome. What do you need to trust him with right now? Chuck Swindoll writes, "Anything under God's control is never out of control." Amen? Anything under God's control is never out of control. Let's trust Jesus in the most threatening of circumstances. Every crisis we go through is really an opportunity to get to know him better. His sleeping days are over. Psalm 121 verses 3 to 4 says, "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep. Indeed, who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." He is in complete control of everything. But number three, sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we must go through storms to get to the other side. My guess is that Wings Christian Fellowship will hit some winds and some waves. It's okay. Families here will go through some waves as well. It's okay. Some of you are going through waves. It's okay. Let's make sure that we are focused on growing our faith and living in awe of him. We're not promised an easy trip, but we are guaranteed arrival at our destination. Amen. Remember this, sometimes the only way to the other side is through the storms. We must all go through storms. Number four, if you're going through a storm, you better have Jesus in your boat. If you're going through a storm, you better have Jesus in your boat. Go back and look at verse 36. "There were also other boats with him, but only one of them had Jesus in it." Is he in your boat this morning? Is he the Lord in your life? We can go to Jesus in all the storms of life, knowing that the boat can never sink when the Savior is in it. Every day, life itself is a storm sometimes. Medical storms requiring painful treatment and long hospital stays. Relational storms that consume your life for seasons. Financial storms when you lose a job or make poor choices with money. Spiritual storms of doubt and the feeling of distance from God. Emotional storms where we are grieving and crying and loss is felt greatly. But since Jesus can still the winds and the waves, make sure that you have Jesus in your boat. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over." He didn't say, "Let us go under." Amen? I love these words from Amy Carmichael. She was a missionary to India. She wrote these words. She said, "Thou art the love, thou art the Lord who slept upon the pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matter beating wind and tossing billow if only we are in the boat with thee? Keep us in quiet through the age-long minute while the waves are high and the wind is shrill. Can the boat sink when thou, dear Lord, art in it? Can the heart faint that waiteth on thy will?" That's powerful, isn't it? Number five, make sure that Jesus is steering your ship. Are you allowing Jesus to be the commander of your boat? It's very interesting to read in verse 38 that Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. The cushion, you know, was reserved for the captain of the ship. Jesus is in the spot of the steersman. Is he steering your life this morning? Have you given the Spirit control of everything in your life? And I'll close with number six. Jesus won't always calm the storm, but he will calm you. Jesus won't always calm the storm, but he will calm you. The Apostle Paul went through a terrible storm in Acts chapter 27. My brothers and sisters, he may not calm the storm that you're in right now, but he can calm you. He may not always change your circumstances, but if you surrender to him, he will change you. I close with the words to the song by Scott Crippen called "Sometimes He Calms the Storm." Listen very carefully. "Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace, be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child." Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. His plan may be puzzling. His plan includes problems. His plan comes with his presence. His plan demonstrates his power. His plan always has a purpose. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Some of us may be going through some pretty rough storms this morning. I don't know, but God knows, and you know. In this morning, in the quietness of our hearts, as the Spirit is ministering to each one of us, for those of you who are going through storms this morning, I would invite you to just slip your hands up, and I'll have the elders maybe pray, the pastor and the elders of this church. I feel led to give this call for those of you who are maybe going through a storm in your life this morning. And Jesus is reminding us to get us out of that storm and into the boat with him. Would you please just raise your hand, or would you just come forward and I'll have the elders to pray for you if someone needs prayer this morning. Please come, sister. Pastor, would you please pray for sister this morning? Anyone else who is going through some crisis, who is going through some storms, that needs a healing touch from the Master this morning, would you please make your way to the front and I'll have Pastor or some of the other elders pray.